Good morning, church. For our call to worship this morning, we're reading the gathering on the back of the bulletin. If you turn to that, and we'll read it responsively. And then I will complete by reading the praise reading. Come, take refuge in the Lord our God.
In the Lord we find all goodness.
Come, bless the Lord who gives us counsel. Come, be glad in the Lord. Let your soul rejoice and your body rest secure.
In God's presence, our joy is full and our hope everlasting.
O God, you show us the path of life. It's a path with ups and downs and hidden corners, and yet somehow a path that is always in your presence. There is fullness of joy. As we gather around your word and in your spirit today, show us again the joy of your guidance, the joy of your comfort, the joy of your challenging call to follow the footsteps that Jesus has left for us. Amen. The website for Council on Foreign Relations has a global conflict tracker tool. The site currently shows 10 conflicts that have a status of worsening, 14 conflicts that are unchanging, and one conflict that is improving. These 25 military conflicts around the globe represent untold human daily suffering, the destruction of lives, homes, communities, and nations. In the face of this, I confess that I have a hard time finding a way to pray for peace. Maybe it's easier to just say a blessing and pass the turkey. We are called to pray and then to act for peace. So pray with me. Today, we light this small light as a symbolic act of peacemaking. God of peace, send your spirit to light a fire in our hearts that our lives and everyday actions demonstrate a call to peace, a peace that is lasting and is based on love. Give us strength and courage to speak and act in the name of love. Amen. Let's worship God in song as Rogers leads us in two opening hymns.
All the hymns this morning will be out of the Blue Book, Hymnal or Worship Book, and we'll begin by turning to number 94, Come Ye Thankful People Come, and stand if you're able.
Come ye thankful people, come, raise the song.
Come, raise the song of our
to number 96, we plow the fields and scatter.
We invite Marvin to come up and all the children to hear our children's story.
Good morning, you guys. How's everybody this morning? Keeping warm?
Yeah.
Did you guys have fun in the snow this week?
Yeah.
Do you guys like snow? Do you guys like snow?
Yeah.
Yeah? Everybody likes snow?
Yeah.
I'll bet there's some people out there that don't like snow. Can you believe that? They must look at snow differently than you look at snow because they don't like it. And I'm getting to the point where I'm that way, too. I don't particularly care for
snow.
It was snow. Yes, there was snow.
And that's those white snows. Yeah.
Really? Okay. All right. Okay. So, I want to talk today about how people can think differently than you. You know, some people don't like snow, and you like snow. So how can things be different like that? Well, today, I'm going to tell you about a story. Sometimes I work at the university and also at this farm, the research farm, and sometimes things break. I use a lot of equipment. Sometimes things will break. And I pull them into the shop, and I look at it, and I figure out how I can fix this thing. And I'll get a hammer, and I'll start beating on it or whatever needs to be done. And someone else will walk by and said, "Why are you? What are you doing?" See, I'm trying to fix it. And they said, well, if you do this, it'll be a lot easier. And sure enough, I'll look at it and say, oh, they're right. If I would have just seen it differently, I could have fixed that much quicker. Okay? There's also times when I have to do a job and I think about how the best way is to do that job. Say I have to organize a conference where a whole bunch of people are going to come together and I figure out how to do that best. I will actually go ask someone else, what do you think? Is this idea good or is this idea bad? Because sometimes I don't see things that are going to happen that other people will look at and see things. Okay? So let's focus today on how people see things differently. Okay? So I've got some pictures I'm going to show you that may help you see how people see things differently. Okay? So, and I'm going to start with the easiest, and we're going to get a little bit harder every time. Okay? So the first one is this right here. What number do you see? What number do you see? How can that be? You're both looking at the same card, but some of you are seeing the number 6, and some of you are seeing the number 9. Uh-oh. Now look, you're seeing the 6. So you can look at the same thing, and depending on how you're looking at it, it may be different. Okay? Here's another one. Ready? Who sees a tree here?
I see a tree, and a lion sees a gorilla.
Okay. They're all in there. You see, there's the tree, and there's the lion over here, and there's the gorilla there in the tree. See it? There's the gorilla's ear, its eyes, and fish. Yeah, fish jumping. Okay? So there's one. See how they put two pictures together there, or three pictures. Okay? So we'll put that one right here. Let's look at this next one. What is this one? How many see a goblet that you would drink out of?
I see a goblet, and now I see two people that look like they're about to
go. Okay. Two people. Do you see the two people?
Yeah.
Does everybody see the two people?
Yeah.
Cedric, do you see him? You do? Everybody see the
and
two
people?
Five people drinking? Wow. Jude, do you see it? Do you see the goblet right here? Something that you would hold and drink out of, like a king would drink out of something like that. And there's the faces. Now you see the faces?
And the five people drinking.
Alethea, do you see it? Do you see the people? Okay.
I see five people.
Now, here's another one. Tell me what you see here. A frog. Okay. You see, all see a frog?
Yeah.
Do you see it?
It's a
horse. It's a
horseman. Yeah. Isn't that something? You didn't see it, but someone else saw it?
I don't see it.
There's the horse's eye. There's its head, and there's its nose, its nostril down there. There's the mane. You see it now, Ben?
And that's the eyeball.
You see it?
Yeah.
You see it now? Okay, so sometimes you can look at something and not even see what's there. You look at it a little differently, okay? What about the next one? What do you think this one is? I don't even know. I have to look. What is it?
Oh.
A what? What do you see?
It's a man.
Everybody sees a man. What did you see,
no,
Daniel?
I see a frog.
A frog. No, we're not looking at that one anymore. We're looking at this one, okay? Okay, everybody see the man?
Yeah,
I see a man's
face.
Oh, no.
A dog with a bone. Okay, looking at the same picture, depending on how you're looking at it, see different things. Okay? I have another one. Oh, here's one. What do you see here?
A rabbit and a duck.
Oh.
I know that one.
It's a duck rabbit.
Okay. You see the rabbit? There's its eyes. There's its ears. You see the rabbit?
Yeah.
Now look what happens if I turn it that way. There's its eyes, and there's its bills for a duck. Okay? See it? Everybody see it?
Yeah, there's a book called Duck Rabbit.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out of touch. Oh, I got to get back into gear here. Okay, last one. How many see the young lady?
I do.
You see the young lady kind of looking at, you're looking at her side like this. Right, and there's her ear. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Well, look here closely. What if that was her chin? We're going to see another lady. That was her chin, that's her mouth, and that's her nose, and that's her eye. Now do you see the old lady?
No.
I didn't see the young lady.
You didn't see the young lady?
I just saw the old lady.
Do you see the young lady now?
No.
Okay,
oh,
the
yeah.
The young lady, that's her ear?
I just see the young lady.
You don't see the old? Okay, right there's her chin. There's her mouth. That's her nose right there. There's her ear. Oh, that's her eye. Sorry.
Two eyes.
No.
You don't see it?
Looks.
That's the young
that's one
one.
Eye. That's another. That's her nose.
No.
Still don't see it. Okay. Well.
Yeah, I still don't see it.
You don't see it either?
I don't.
Well, we're going to send that back with you, and you can look at it here in church and see if you can figure it out. Okay. Well, I don't have one for you. You'll have to trade back there, okay? Okay. So, the next time you are with somebody that doesn't see things quite like you see them, like, you know, maybe they think a little differently than you, or they act what we would say, they act a little weird, okay? That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. They just maybe see a picture different than you see it, okay? So, remember that even though people are different to you, they're really important to help you get jobs done and to see things as a whole instead of just a little part, okay? So, Cedric, let's say a prayer, and we'll go back to our seats. Cedric? Okay. Dear God, thank you for all these children, and thank you that they're all going to grow up and see things differently from each other, and together they'll help make your body. In your name we pray. Amen.
We invite Pastor Ben Weidman to come up and give us an update on the Third Way Collective mission.
It's been really good to be thinking a little bit about the origin story of Third Way Collective lately. The Allegheny Mennonite Conference gathering that was here asked me to share about our work with Third Way Collective. I couldn't be at the gathering, and so we prepared a video with some of our supporters talking about why Third Way Collective is important. But in the process of that, it's been helpful for me to think back to even before I arrived to the origin of an idea that came from this congregation. Really, the audacity to think that on a campus with 65 faith groups, there needed to be one more Christian perspective in a campus that already had 40 of them. A unique perspective, though, focusing on our Anabaptist distinctives, thinking about the things that make our tradition special, our tradition unique, focusing on our call to peace and social justice from our faith tradition, and then to watch this campus ministry kind of grow out of that moment. A reporter asked myself and one of our student officers if she could interview us this week for an article. And the student officer who was able to be there is not someone that I would consider necessarily to be a person with a very active religious identity. But she said to the reporter, "I want you to know Third Way Collective has given me a vision for what my faith can look like again." She said, "I grew up in a faith tradition and sort of left it behind as I headed off to college." But she said, "Getting in touch with Third Way Collective has allowed me to imagine myself as a person of faith moving forward into the future." So something about our uniqueness is offering students an opportunity to engage. The only other thing I'll say before this, we watch this video together as part of our mission moment, is I've been thinking a lot about the unique opportunity we have to break apart some of the dichotomies that we are told in our culture are the way things are. I think for students, especially before Third Way Collective's creation, students often thought that they had to choose between their faith identity or the justice or peace concerns that they had. There wasn't space to imagine both of those together. Our involvement in creating Receiving with Thanksgiving was because LGBT students thought that they had to choose between their LGBT identity or their faith identity, on the other hand. I think more and more that the third way that we're offering is a way to break down some of these things that divide us and to say there is a pathway that allows you to be fully and authentically who you are. So, without anything further, we'll enjoy this little 8-minute clip. Thank you again for supporting this unique campus ministry, this wonderful and strange idea that you had. It feels like a very, very much like a privilege to be able to try and carry that out on the campus of Penn State.
Third Way Collective is great because it is a hub for organizing for peace, justice, and faith-based community.
And we just really appreciate how visible they seem to have been.
It provides a refreshing mix between the political groups on campus and the religious groups on campus.
I kept seeing him showing up in the same places where I was showing up. And I was like, who is this guy who's committed to the work of justice at this critical time and moment, not only in our nation, but in particular here on this campus?
It's a bridge between the religious community and the kind of progressive activism community.
What Christ taught, it's what he lived and what he died for and what he was teaching over and over and over again.
The seeking to bring together the State College community in a way that values and celebrates the diverse community that we hope to live in.
That was typically one of the first groups that came up whenever I was in a space where we were talking about collaborating.
I really love to watch how Ben interacts with the students that he works with, how he not only engages them in important conversations and gives them an opportunity to explore what they value, what they're struggling with, what they believe in, and how their faith relates to all that, but how he also equips them.
Doing things that that extend not just to whatever local Christian culture bubble that we have, but are also involved in the wider community.
Third Way Collective has done a really good job of bringing in speakers that maybe have trans or non-binary identities, who also are particularly aligned within their faith, or just other like queer aspects of things.
We have students coming together and doing activism and doing work, but then also being connected to people in the community that are interested in that same work.
I like knowing that there are people there who are of Christian spirituality that are looking out for basically corporate injustice.
It brings people of disparate faiths together to really talk and lay the groundwork for all of us to take better action for a more just and dignified life.
They haven't been around that long as some, you know, compared to some of the other groups we have here. They also don't seem to have been as large in the past as some of the other groups we have here.
We need resources to survive. You know, we really depend a lot on, in campus ministry, we depend a lot on a staff member to do it all.
Love, compassion, service, surrender.
That it would be a source of inspiration, a source of love, a source of sort of intentional community and a really big university that's home to a lot of people that are doing their own searching and looking for, I don't know, a spiritual family.
Christian bubbles will forget about these other kind of social justice issues and kind of tend to keep to themselves. And Ben does this wonderful job in the Third Way Collective of kind of drawing Christians out of that and trying to bring them out into the world.
A lot of folks within the LGBTQ community have had negative experiences with different faith and spirituality, and so therefore it's sometimes really hard to find that connection that if you align with a faith or some sort of spirituality, it can be really hard to find that resource of where a church or a place of worship might be that is affirming.
I think this legacy that Third Way Collective leaves behind is so important, especially now at a time of division, at a time when people are influenced by fear, when there are groups even within the Penn State and State College communities that are encouraging racism and sexism and homophobia.
I knew the role and importance of not only faith in the work of justice, but really the power of presence. And that's what I really appreciated about Ben and about what I saw a part of the work of the Third Way Collective to be a presence, a consistent presence, a moral presence, a spiritual presence for students who are navigating things that were very uncomfortable and yet they were very real.
I'd like to see Third Way Collective remain a vibrant and sort of an agile part of our community.
In general, Third Way Collective has been a presence for students and for offices around to be able to be a good connection point for them.
I see them consistently in spaces where the work just needs to be done. And that's what I hope they'll be able to continue to do.
welcoming your neighbor, no matter where you're from, no matter who you love, no matter what you believe in. And that involves a lot of other work in order to make people feel welcome, in order to really make everyone at Penn State a potential neighbor.
It's impossible for us to be able to program to every identity, so if there's other groups that are able to do some of those speakers or panels or workshops or something like that, a place where our students of faith within our LGBTQ community can also find that place of belonging, I think that that should definitely continue.
Advocating for change, positive change.
The truth of it, the call to love, and keeping grounded in that, and still the actions hopefully that come from that in the world, the example, the presence. And I think Third Way Collective, I'm just so grateful that it's here.
Third Way Collective is the type of group that can appeal to a large variety of people.
In order for something like this to continue to exist, they do need support and funding.
Ben is somebody who has the largest congregation that extends outside of a Christian bubble.
There's really no other place for LGBTQ folks who also identify within a faith community to have that.
Support things and support people and support organizations that are doing the work so that they can actually do the work that we know the world needs.
Who are living as Christ lived.
Donate and contribute as you're able to Third Way Collective. It's a really important ministry.
Trust that, you know, we are educating ourselves and finding good things to support as well.
It makes our area better, and by making our area better, we make the world a much better place to live in.
I wish that something like this had existed when I was in college here at Penn State, and so the fact that UMC is supporting this just made me really want to be a part of that community.
Give, support Third Way Collective, because it's amazing.
Thanks, Ben, for that update on the Third Way Collective.
One of the biggest challenges I see with those who are interested in public speaking is that they just don't know how
we'll
to
now
get
take the
you just don't know what you don't know, right?
Robin and Joyce are going to help us with that. Keeping you moving, Mike. Let's pray. We thank you then, Creator, for all things bright and good. The seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. Accept the gifts we offer for all your love imparts, and what you most would welcome are humble, thankful hearts. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all your love. Amen.
Please remain seated, but turn to hymn number 89 for the beauty of the earth. Crystal will give us a brief introduction. And we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Our scripture reading for today is from Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8, and if you'd like to follow along, you can find that in your pew Bible on page 789. And after getting into a boat, he crossed the sea and came to his own town. And just then, some people were carrying a paralyzed man lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Then some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Stand up, take your bed, and go to your home." And he stood up and went to his home. And when the crowd saw it, they were filled with awe, and they glorified God who had given such authority to human beings. Blessings to you, Kate, as you bring us this morning's sermon.
Good morning. It feels like it's been a full morning already with a really provocative children's time and hearing about Ben's work. So let's just start with a full breath to come back to this place and this moment. And pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I'd like to start this morning with an experiment. And this feels a little risky in a room with many scientists, but let's just have some fun with it. And I'm going to get the mic because you're going to be a part of this with me. So I'm thinking of a rule, And I want you to try and figure out the rule. So I'm going to begin by giving you three numbers. And the way you can get information is by saying another three numbers. And I'll say, yes, that follows my rule, or no, that doesn't follow my rule. And then you can propose what you think the rule is. Okay? So I'm going to come down here because I want you guys to be involved in this. So my three numbers are 2, 4, 8. So who wants to give me another set of numbers and see if it follows the rule? Just call them out. 16, 32, 64. Yes, that follows my rule. Do you want to guess what the rule is?
Just multiply by 2.
Multiply by 2. That's not my rule. Okay, who else has three numbers? Come on, what are another three numbers? Let's try and... Micah. 12, 14, 16. Yes, that follows my rule. What do you think the rule is, Micah? Even numbers. That's not my rule. Okay, three more numbers. Who has some? Just call them out. I'm sorry? 10, 12, 14. Follows my rule. What do you think the rule is? Add two each time. That's not my rule. Ah. You're doing good, though. So what else? Give me another set of numbers. 33, 116, 480. That follows my rule.
Then your rule is that every combination is correct.
Every combination is correct is not my rule. Okay. So, 1, 3, 5. That follows my rule. Yeah. So give me three numbers and let's see a yes or no. 13, 14, 15, that follows my rule. Okay, so you're on the right track. We're thinking a little bit differently. Give me another three set, because we want to try and figure out what doesn't follow the rule, right? 3, 1, 5. That doesn't follow my rule. What might the rule be, Jim? Increasing numbers. You guys got it much faster than most people did. So yes, the rule was just that numbers simply needed to increase. All right, so now we're all awake, right? So what just happened here? We heard lots of numbers, lots of suggestions that confirmed our rules, right? The way most of us think and see the world is we try and confirm what we believe. And in a case like this experiment, we give numbers and an answer where we want the answer to be yes. Again and again, we collect evidence that confirms what we think, even when our hypothesis or our ideas are not correct. So psychologically, this is known as confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is a selective collection of evidence. And how does it work? Well, the way our minds work is we have preconceived ideas about how something behaves. And to confirm these ideas, what we tend to do is we gather evidence and we recall information from memory selectively, and then we interpret it in a biased way. And these biases are especially strong and noticeable when we have emotionally significant issues and established beliefs. The stronger the belief or more charged the emotion, wow, our radar goes on high alert, and we only notice the things that confirm our entrenched idea. Everything else gets ignored. This phenomenon is also called my side bias. So in this experiment here, chances are you weren't too invested in what you thought the rule was for my numbers. So it's not so hard to accept a new idea and to think differently. But let's take a look at how confirmation bias might be involved in today's gospel reading. It begins, "And after getting into a boat, he crossed the sea and came to his own town. And just then, some people were carrying a paralyzed man lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven.'" He came to his own town. Jesus is coming home, back to the place where he grew up, where he's known. Oh, that's Jesus, son of Joseph, you know, the carpenter. And what's he doing? Going around teaching, healing, stirring things up. For those who knew him, they had a very strong expectation of who this person was supposed to be. While others there, others are willing to stretch their belief, to listen with new ears, with new understanding. Some in that community had so much faith in this man's extraordinary power that they carried their friend on his bed to be healed. When Jesus saw their faith, he says to the paralytic, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." It goes on, "Then some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This man is blaspheming.' But Jesus, perceived their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and walk?" Why do you think evil in your hearts? And which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and walk? We get two questions this morning. For those of you who are new here, we have been doing a series on the questions of Jesus this fall. So this morning, again, those two questions. Why do you think evil in your hearts? That's the one I'd really like to focus on. Why do you think evil in your hearts? I wonder what's going on here with the scribes. So let's come back to confirmation bias for a moment. You see, as much as we'd like to see ourselves as rational beings, in reality, in our full humanity, we really don't perceive the world as it is. We interpret the world by doing cognitive shortcuts. And much of the time, these work just fine, but they create blind spots, cognitive bias. Confirmation bias leads us to seek out the facts that support our opinion and ignore or discount facts that don't. This is why even fair-minded people can read the same Bible and come away with entirely different perspectives, because they really aren't reading the same Bible. People, all of us, we cherry-pick, and the divisions that split us up stem from the different parts of the orchard we pick from. So did you know that it feels about twice as bad to lose something as it does to get it in the first place? It's called loss aversion, and it helps explain why even good changes can freak us out sometimes. So why are we so afraid of losing? Our aversion to loss is a really strong emotion. It's an expression of fear. And it's why we tend to focus much more on negative emotions than positive ones. They say that negative thoughts and emotions are like Velcro, they stick. And positive ones, more like Teflon, they easily slide off us. They've done studies that find that we're more upset about losing $10 than we are about finding $10. Roughly speaking, losses hurt about twice as much as gains make us feel good. And this ownership and loss of things is not limited to material things. It also applies to ideas. Once we take ownership of an ideology, we tend to value it more than it's worth, and we hate to lose. Does that sound familiar? So back to the scribes. The scribes are invested, heavily invested in the religious system and how closely it's tied to the political system of the day. They have some very entrenched ideas about who has power and authority and who can do what. In their understanding, God is the only one who forgives sins. So Jesus' words are blasphemy to them. For Jesus to be stepping outside of tradition and claiming power and authority would have been very threatening, causing fear for those in leadership in the Jewish community. The scribes can only see from the side of fear and aversion. Who does he think he is? They must be thinking. We know where he comes from. We know who this man is. The scribes have a lot to lose in giving up their beliefs, no matter how small and paralyzing those beliefs may be. The paralytic and the friends carrying him, they probably didn't have as much to lose. They are poor, marginalized, looking for help wherever they can find it. They don't seem to fear the radical newness of Jesus. Instead, they act out of love. Fear or love. Those are the two major ways of thinking and acting. Our reading today came from Matthew's Gospel, but in Mark's Gospel, this same story gives us more detail. With the space where Jesus is teaching being so crowded that the only way to get to him is by lowering the paralytic down through a hole in the roof. These friends go above and beyond. They work from a place of love, while the scribes come from a place of fear. How differently they each see and respond to the person, Jesus. So what happens when we live out of a place of fear? What happens in this brain of ours? Thoughts become less rational. We tend to tighten up physically and emotionally. There's little space for anything new. That's when loss aversion sets in. Here, Jesus doesn't work out of a place of fear. He simply names the evil he perceives in the hearts of the scribes. He offers two alternatives. What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven. Receive emotional and spiritual healing and wholeness, or stand up and receive physical healing and wholeness. I believe that Jesus offers this radical notion, you are free, free of all that paralyzes you. This notion that you, he says it to the paralyzed man, he says it to us today. You are free of all that paralyzes you. So often we have boundaries put on us by religion, by our own thoughts, by others. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he said, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So there, Paul was encouraging that community to consider how their actions were impacting others, specifically around the eating of meat. You can do it or not. It's not a sin, he says. But if it negatively impacts your neighbor, then you might want to think twice. Just as he beckoned the paralyzed man to stand up and take his mat, so I believe Jesus invites us to be healed, spiritually and emotionally to be free, and then to stand up, walk, and take this liberation out into the world to live his message of love. Jesus offers freedom. He frees this man from spiritual and physical bondage, both an inner and an outer miracle. Does he offer that to us? Freedom is a scary thing. it gives us an unbounded space. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Jesus is offering to this paralyzed man to be free from sin and from whatever it is that binds his body. It can be scary. I'm sure it was scary for that man to move into a new life, because with this amazing freedom that Jesus offers comes great responsibility. The freedom that Jesus offers needs to be lived within the container of love. And so alongside this expansive freedom, we need to ask ourselves, is it beneficial? I'm free. I'm free to take my paycheck and go blow it at Hollywood Casino. But is it beneficial? Have you ever been in an argument and knew exactly what not to say? You knew what would most wound the person? What would unnecessarily drag up the past? And yet you said it anyway? I know I've done that. That's the freedom we have. And what we said might be factually right, confirmation bias or not, but was it beneficial? I am free to do, to say all kinds of things. But do my choices lead to life, life rooted in God? When we live out of freedom, the freedom found through faith, freedom that can terrify us and propel us to new ways of living, we may experience that same gift of liberation from our sins and from those things that bind us. For freedom is the ultimate ideal of God. God cares about justice and freedom in all aspects of our life. This was really the whole story of the Jewish people, of Moses' story, of Jesus' story, that he came to liberate. The paralyzed man in this story is not named. Might he represent us, the symbolic paralysis of the human condition, a lack of true freedom? Though not dead, the paralytic on his mat is the symbolic antithesis of the aliveness and freedom befitting the children of God. When Jesus asks, why do you think evil in your hearts? He answers by performing the invisible miracle of forgiveness of sins, and then performs the visible miracle of healing. That's simply the outer sign. So I wonder, what paralyzes you? What paralyzes me and us? Where is healing needed in our lives? And how might Jesus be inviting us to the aliveness and freedom that we can claim as children of God? May we find that together. Amen.
Hymn number 86, Now Thank We All Our God. It's 86 on the right-hand side. And Krista will give us a brief introduction.
Thank you.
We'd like to move into a time of welcoming visitors here. So again, if you brought someone, please feel free to stand, wait for the mic, and introduce them. If you came alone and if you feel courageous enough, we'd love to know who you are. So please.
I'm Esther. These are my parents, Jake and Dina, visiting from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Glad you're here. You had some birthdays to celebrate. Yes.
Matt and Laura Rook, and our son Everett is in the nursery. Good to be here today.
Oh, welcome.
There are a group of family here, and I'll defer to my nephew, my oldest nephew, to introduce everybody in his family.
Go, Jason.
I'm Jason Spiker. I'm here with my girlfriend Krista from Pittsburgh, my parents Jim and Carol from Lancaster, my grandparents John Virginia from Harrisonburg, Virginia, and Julia and Phil and Amelia in the back there as well.
Welcome to all of you. Did we have any birthdays this week to remember?
Yes, hence the reason for my parents' visit. We had two birthdays. Lily entered the double digits.
Woo!
And Leland's a year further into the double digits.
All right, anybody else? Oh.
Celebrated his first birthday on Friday, so we are delighted.
We have one digit, right. 10 digits, many digits. Anyone else? Ah.
Jim Rosenberger celebrated number 72 on Thursday.
Wow. All right, we have a lot to sing for. Raj, would you get us started?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
What other announcements are there to share with the community this morning?
Joel Widener, just want to remind you all of the 10,000 Villages things going on. This coming Friday is going to be our Fair Friday sale, not Black Friday. It's Fair Friday at the store. And also the rug event that's coming up here at the church in the foyer, November 28th through December 1. I am looking for volunteers to help sign up to help with that. There's a sign-up sheet outside in the foyer and online. And also there's materials there, yard signs, postcards, to just spread the word to whoever you feel comfortable doing so.
I want to remind you that there is a congregational meeting tonight at 6:30 here. And if you would like to come ahead of time for a conversation, a structured conversation around Christmas and how we might look a little bit more deeply at how the secular and the sacred meet each other in this season. So feel free to come for that. 5:15 snacks and 5:30 the discussion will begin. Yes.
Hi, my name's Luke Charles, and I'm part of the Ithaca College Habitat for Humanity, and we're holding a fundraiser coming back from Thanksgiving break for the Ithaca homelessness crisis. There's the rescue mission, which has been going through some tough transition right now, but they're starting to get more volunteers for the winter months, but they put in a request for socks and scarves, and so we're doing a fundraiser for that. And so I'll be here next week again, so if you would have any leftover scarves and socks and mittens and any kind of winter gear, they would be very welcoming of that. So, and also, yeah, if we can, I can take money up and we can buy the scarves and socks and everything for them too. So
great.
Thank you.
Thanks for your work, Luke.
every year that on Thanksgiving Day, we have a Thanksgiving meal here, and everybody is welcome. And we do have a sign-up sheet in the back on the bulletin board by the nursery. So we have a lot of fun. It starts at 1:30, and you can sign up to bring something or not. There's always plenty of food. If you have any other questions, you can see me after church.
I also wanted to highlight something in the bulletin that encouraging you to update the electronic directory. Some aren't in it. Some information or pictures are woefully out of date. For my sake, as I continue to get to know you all, please update the directory. You can send things. There's information on how to do that. All right, well, I invite you to stand and turn in your hymnal to number 433 and stand for the benediction. May the God who invites us to stand up and walk bless you with strength for the journey. May the God who loves us into freedom bless you with wisdom to discern what is loving action. And may you remember deep within your being that you are known and loved by God. Go in peace.
Hymn number 433, Go My Children, we'll sing verses 3 and 4.